So cool to see one of my kids up here. and that's, you know, there's room for more. Not just my kids, but room for more, right? Weston asked me before service, he said, is there a scripture you want me to share? And I said, oh, man, I forgot to get one for you. And it was interesting how you ended that verse on, and we know his son. And I'm going to be doing a series over the next few weeks, filling in for Pastor Wes while he's recovering, okay? And I'm looking forward to this. It's back in the 1990s, early 2000s, a lot of songs came out about, I want to know you, or I want more of you. I want more of your love, more power, more of you in my life. You know, a lot of those types of songs. And there was just such a, such a passion. Not that there's not anymore these days, but in worship, because it was just a passionate prayer. God, I want to know you more. I want more of you. And so you have to excuse my voice. Got a little bit of a, thing going on. But the title of the series is simply, Lord, I want to know you more. That's it. Lord, I want to know you more. So what I'm going to be doing over the next few weeks is just challenging us as a church to make that a daily prayer. Lord, I want to know you more. You know, show me, teach me. Let me hear your voice. I want to know your direction. I want to know your will. I got one. Thank you. All right. But so would you say that with me? It's on the screen. Lord, I want to know you more. That's it. Can we do that? Yeah? All right. God bless everybody. Have a great week, all right? I'm kidding. All right. I know. Short and sweet. For the next 31 minutes and 47 seconds, I'm going to be talking about knowing God more. And the first part of this series is knowing the Father's voice. All right? Knowing the Father's voice. You know, the voice is really, really significant. Okay? It's so unique. Science tells us that it's more unique than your fingerprint. You know why that is? Because of two different factors. First, your voice is unique because of your anatomy, all right? How your body is built, your size of your vocal cords, your lung capacity, your nasal cavity, everything that has to do with making sound is unique to you and makes your voice unique. But there's a whole other part to that. It's a learned behavior. It's your vocabulary. It's your pronunciation, your phrasing, all this kind of stuff. When you put all those two things together, it makes your voice more unique than your fingerprint. That's amazing, isn't it? Pretty neat. Stanford University of Medicine, if you like stats and like, you know, studies and results, in 2016, they released a study about the mother's voice. So how many of your moms in here are familiar with the importance of the mother's voice to a child even before they're born? Amen? The impact, the benefits that has, right? Such as creating emotional comfort, stress reduction, brain development, social development, language skills, bonding. From the before they're born through their whole childhood, the mother's voice is so, so important. The child just gravitates toward that. The father's voice is really instrumental too, okay? And according to Kids Central TN, they released a study. Their results showed that a father's voice helps create a sense of identity, all right? Confidence level, resilience, and emotional well-being. You can see that as a human voice, all right, it is a God-given tool to help develop the next generation. It is so important that we use our voice in the right way, right, to lead and to guide, to train, to teach the next generation, or encourage each other. But there's another voice out in the world right now, and it's a lot of social influencers, right? How many are familiar with influencers? Man, you can doom scroll all these shorts about from these influencers, and all they're doing is just spilling their opinion about stuff, right? You got me? You with me? All right. 6'7", whatever. Okay. Okay, so in 2022, though, something happened, all right? Parents looked at these studies, these results that came out, and I'm thinking it was the parents anyway, and they're like, Well, that's great. Yeah, we kind of know that. But what happened at this point? Something changed. So in 2022, Stanford released new results from a new study that showed, are you sitting down? Are you ready for this? You sure you're sitting down? I don't want you to, yeah, everybody's sitting down. All right, you got the joke? Good, here we go. The results showed that as a child grows and gets into the teenage stage, believe it or not, they stop listening to their parents and gravitate toward their friends' voices. Did you know that? I mean, is that a shock? Can you believe it? All right, so students, young people, listen, I'm not picking on you because guess what? Everybody in this room has been there. All right, get into that adolescent stage, things change. But as a Christian, there's a voice that you can learn at a young age that will carry you through to more than just developing your well-being, but your eternal well-being, right? It's God's voice, and we need to be familiar with that voice. We need to know what the Father's voice is like. So the first point, these are going to be mostly questions. You can write these down, except for this one. Ways that God can speak. Okay, what are some ways that God can speak? Now, audible. The Bible is full of examples and stories about the audible voice of God. How many of you ever heard the audible voice of God? Okay, all right, maybe a couple, right? I know somebody, I never have, but I know somebody that did. He was not a Christian at the time. He was in his house by himself. He was kind of a little rebel, and I'd say that even if he was here. But he was in his house, and God spoke. He heard the audible voice of God, and it convicted him to his core. He fell to his knees and repented and became a Christian, evangelist, and then a pastor. All right? Now, I've never heard the audible voice of God. I am a Christian, and I have to tell you, if I heard the audible voice of God, I'd probably fall to my knees, repent, and get saved all over again because it'd probably scare the daylights out of me, right? But there's another way that God speaks, and this is share with you how when the Lord is speaking to me, what it's normally like, right? And it's like an overwhelming whisper. It's like a, you know, he drops a thought into my heart and into my mind that is so subtle but so overwhelming, and the whole atmosphere around me changes. Like, I just can't even focus on what's going on. I can only focus on what the Lord has just spoken. An example would be youth convention. It was phenomenal this year. Highest attended youth convention in decades. Really, really fantastic. Energetic, exciting, and loud, and loud. And did I mention it was loud? But it was so good. It was so good. But in the middle of all of that, I'm sitting there in one of those services, and God revealed something to me. And all the excitement was still going on, all the activity was still going on, but all I could focus on was what he had just said. And I had to write it down. I couldn't shake it. And that's typically how God has spoken, or he might confirm a word through somebody else. They don't know what's going on in my life and something that I'm praying about, and they'll come up and say, hey, I feel like God is saying this, and confirm it word for word. Really cool ways that God can speak, right? The important thing is, though, that we need to know the voice of God. I think so many times that we can read between the lines in a sermon or pick up something from a social media influencer. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of good influencers out there. Charlie Kirk was one of them, all right? A lot of good people out there. And we can pick things up that they say and be like, oh, that must be God. You need to know God's voice, okay? Not just somebody else's voice. We need to be familiar with the Father's voice. All right, so that's point number two. John chapter 10, we'll get into these scriptures in just a second. Don't put them quite up there yet. Jesus is giving this example about a shepherd, okay? And just for those of you that don't know, he uses a lot of parables, a lot of examples. When he's talking about fish, he probably has an audience of fishermen. If he's talking about planting and sowing and reaping and farming, he probably has an audience of farmers. If he has an analogy about sheep, he probably has an audience of, you know, he used what related to people, right? So let's go ahead and read this scripture, John chapter 10, verse 4. This is Jesus saying, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This is talking about the shepherd, all right? Verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. All right. This is important. All right. We're going to hold on to that thought. We're going to jump to verse 14, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. All right. So let me ask this. How do the sheep know the shepherd's voice? And I'm going to open this up for anybody. Don't feel, I mean, if you're wrong, I'll just tell you you're wrong. But if you're right, I'll build off of it. So go ahead. How do the sheep know the shepherd's voice? What do you think that is? They heard him speak. Huh? Oh, he feeds them. What's that? I'm going to use all three of those because that's exactly where I'm going with. You have my notes back there. That doesn't count. I'm kidding. That's not in my notes, but that's exactly right, right? Listen, they know the shepherd's voice because he speaks, he takes them to food and water and away from danger, and they are always with him, all right? And he is always with them. Spending time learning the voice. If you hear your spouse's voice or a sibling's voice that you've grown up with, do you know it's them speaking in a room without even looking at them? Because you've spent time with them, right? You understand and you're familiar with their voice. All right. Now, those of you that have been in the church long enough have probably heard a lot of sermons about sheep. Those of you that haven't, you're going to learn a little bit about sheep right now, just for a minute. Sheep are not very smart animals, okay? They are really quite dumb animals. And we are being referred to as sheep. All right. Now, Jesus isn't calling us dumb, okay? But we're one step away, all right? He hasn't set the bar too high that it can't be reached, right? Jesus is emphasizing the importance of we, his people, need to know him, and we need to know his voice, all right? It's so important that we are familiar with his voice. Now, Satan, on the other hand, okay, he would be that stranger, right? He's the one that speaks something that's enticing. It sounds good. It feels good to our human nature, all right, to our old ways, our sinful ways, whatever. It feels good, and it's enticing. His strategy is deception and lies. His whole goal is to pull us out of the will of God and into that dangerous, compromising situation, right? You with me? Okay. Again, his strategy is deception and lies. Now, with that said, does everybody, every Christian, every pastor always hear the voice of God every second of the day? I'd say probably not, right? If we want to be honest, there's a lot of times that we get going, we're kind of like focused on task at hand or whatever, or emotional, you know, you're emotionally charged about something and you go off in a different direction. But I will tell you this. I mean, there's times that I miss it too. But I start my day with this, and this is why I'm challenging us as a church, okay, over the next few weeks, to say, God, I want to know you more. This is how I start my day. Lord, I want to know you more. God, I want to know your voice. I want to hear you speak. I want to know your direction. God, I want to partake of your wisdom. Share your wisdom with me. Help me to make right decisions throughout my day. Now, does that make every decision I make perfect? No, but I'm opening my day up for God to use, right? All right. So, with that said, point number, I don't know. The next point, because I didn't number them. I just titled them in my notes. And did you notice I'm using this old-fashioned thing called paper? Yeah, all right. And a highlighter, because it didn't print out with color. Yeah, it's fantastic. Great way to do this. next point, it is a question. What does it mean to know the Father's voice? What does it mean to know the Father's voice? And I'm gonna sum it right up, make it so simple. To know the Father's voice is simply to know the Father. All right, so I just asked you, how many of you would know your spouse or sibling's voice in a room if they were speaking, right? Yes, most of you would, because you know them, right? You've spent time with them. You have that relationship with them, right? To know the Father's voice is simply to know the Father. It's a couple interesting stories in the Old Testament we're going to talk about. One of them was one that's really familiar. When the Israelites were held in slavery in Egypt, right? Moses went to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5 and said, "The Lord says, let my people go that they may come worship me." Okay? Pharaoh's response is really interesting. in chapter 5, verse 2. Look at this. He says, "And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go.'" There's a relationship between know and voice, okay? Pharaoh was used to the Egyptian culture. He was used to the Egyptian gods. He was used to what his society had taught him and brought him up in, all right? Moses was using the name of the Lord, the Hebrew name of the Lord, which is what? Yahweh. He wasn't familiar with Yahweh. He's like, "Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice? I don't know him, nor will I let the people go." You know the story, right? Plagues came on Israel. He learned his lesson. He let the people go. Israel, through that whole time, saw those plagues come on Israel, on Egypt, but never on Israel. They went through the wilderness following this miraculous pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, leading them through this wilderness, because guess what they didn't have? Maps, app, maps, app, GPS, none of it, Google Maps, nothing, right? They had nothing except for what God was directing them with, right? Then they get to the Red Sea. What are they going to do? God parts the Red Sea. They see all these things. And then King David refers back to this in Psalm 95, and he says, "If you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts like Israel did when they rebelled." Even after Israel saw all those things, losing my voice, God was leading them to the promised land, they still rebelled. They hardened their hearts. And in that time, God said, "It is a people that goes astray, and they don't know my ways." All right. So we need to be familiar with the voice of God, with the Father's voice. We need to know the Father. We need to know his direction. We need to know what he's leading us to do. And when he speaks, we do it, right? Don't harden your heart. Don't go in a different direction. Don't go in a compromising path. Follow what God is saying to do. All right. Even the Israelites during that time fell to Satan's plan of distraction, of deception, of lies, and fell to idolatry. Okay, they went the ways of the world, all right? You don't see a lot of idolatry anymore. For those of you that, you know what idolatry is, golden idols and wooden statues and all this kind of stuff, you don't see a whole lot of it in the U.S., but you do see a lot of the way that our culture goes, the way that maybe our government legalizes certain things that we know is still wrong, all right? We can't go that way. We have to be separate from that and follow the voice of God. Amen? Amen. All right, so next, what is the Father's voice? What is the Father's voice? I don't know if I asked you to, I did. Okay, John 18, 37. Jesus is standing before Pilate, and Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth." Some versions say testify of the truth. "Everyone who is of the truth," what? "Hears my voice." All right. So I want to talk about what the Father's voice is, okay? Jesus now is putting a relationship between the word truth and the word his voice, all right? Listen, when Jesus speaks, when God speaks, when the Father speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks, however you want to word it, he's not going to mislead you. He's going to give you an option, all right, because we have free will, but he's going to say, "Hey, this is what I have in store for you. Here's my direction for you. Here's the peace you've been asking for. Here's the healing you've been asking for. Here's what you've been asking for." He's going to speak, and it's going to be truth. In Greek, I'm going to bring Greek. I love Greek. Here we go. The word, don't put it up there, Josh, not yet. This is so deep. All right, are you ready for this? The word voice, when Jesus says they are of the truth, know or hear my voice, the word voice in the Greek is spelled this, P-H-O-N-E. Phone. Right? We would pronounce it phone. In the Greek, it's phoné. And here's what it means. It means human articulation. All right? It means maybe an animal noise, but it also implies the idea of artificial or imitation. All right. Do you see how Satan can use, if his strategy is to imitate, right? His strategy is to deceive and to lie. He uses a voice that sounds good, right? So uses an idea that sounds good, like it almost might be the right thing for me, but it's not God's voice, all right? Satan will use, he even used scripture when trying to tempt Jesus, right? He uses things that sound familiar and sound good, all right? If Satan's strategy is to imitate and speak through deception and lies, what does that make the Father's voice then? If Satan's voice is lies, the Father's voice is truth. We got it. Good deal. Jesus said again, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. The Bible is God's word. Okay, we know that. It is truth, and God will not speak contrary to it. Amen. Do you believe that? All right. Good deal. Another story that I love in the Old Testament is about Elijah. Elijah, in 1 Kings 17, he was staying at a widow's house who had a son. The son got sick and died, and the widow blamed Elijah, the man of God, right? So Elijah takes this dead boy up to the boy's room, lays him on the bed, and begins to cry out to God and said, "Oh Lord, my God, return the soul of this boy to his body." Verse 22, then the Lord heard the what? Voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him. I want to stop there first. Voice. All right. The word voice in Hebrew, we switched it up a little bit, is kol, K-O-W-L. Pronounced kol. It means to call aloud, a voice or sound, and to cry out. Now, do you hear the passion and the intensity of the word voice in this, right? It's with purpose, with intention to cry out and to call aloud, okay? Verse 23. Then the widow. Elijah took the child, brought him. Did we say something? Did we miss something? Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Soul came back to the child and back, and he revived. Verse 23, and Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Now, this is really cool. This is really cool. Look at this. Verse 24, then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Okay. Now catch this, all right? The word know, K-N-O-W, is pronounced yada. It's Y-A-D-A, yada. This woman is basically seeing, now by what I have seen, I recognize that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Something so cool about this story is that God heard Elijah's voice, and the woman realized that the word in Elijah's mouth is God's word and is truth. All right. Elijah was speaking the word of God. He was speaking it as if the Lord was speaking to this boy to revive. My last point, is that we need to speak with the Father's voice. I worked a job, my very first job. I hated it. Have you ever worked a job that you hated? Oh, my goodness. I did my best. You know, I did my best. I really did. A couple weeks ago, I preached on surrender and devoting certain things in our lives, right? Work ethic is one of them that we need to have the best work ethic out of anybody in the world, right? So I worked hard, but I really did not like the job, guys. I mean, just to be honest with you. The only reason I even got a job is my dad said, "You're old enough to drive, you're old enough to work. Go get a job." And the only thing that made it okay and somewhat enjoyable is that there were days I actually worked with my dad because he worked there. I didn't like the job, not because of him, just because of the stuff they had me do. It just, whatever. It wasn't my thing. there was a day that a customer needed my dad, and my dad was out in the back field doing a project behind this building. The building was huge, okay? And instead of walking all the way around the building, I went out the side door that was right next to me, and there was this lean-to, just a roof on stilts, going all the way down this whole length of the building. So I'm like, all right, so instead of going all the way back there, I'm just going to yell for him, right? Because I knew I could project my voice. So I assumed the position, cupped my hands over my mouth, and I yelled, "Dad!" as loud as I could. And he freaked me out, my dad, all right? He was kind of a prankster. At the same time I yelled, "Dad," I heard him yell, "Dad," from right behind me. Okay, I mean, it scared the daylights out of me. And I whipped around, and he wasn't there. So I ran around the front corner of the building, and he wasn't there. That's when I realized the voice that I heard was my voice echoing back as the voice of my father. Let me ask you this. When you speak, are you speaking as if the Father is speaking through you? When people hear you in your social circle, at work, school, wherever you are, when they hear you speak, are they hearing you as if God is speaking? Are they hearing you as if the Holy Spirit is speaking to them? Are you speaking life? Are you speaking encouragement? Are you speaking love? We need to be speaking with the Father's voice. So how do we even get there, right? First, we need to listen for his voice. We need to recognize, be familiar with his voice, and then follow the Father's voice. So we learn to speak in the way that he does, okay? Remember we talked about right at the very beginning, I'm just about done. We talked about at the very beginning how our voice is unique because of the anatomy. So God will use our physical voice, right? But then it's a learned process, right? It's a learned vocabulary, phrasing, word usage. The more time we spend with the Father, the more we're going to begin to sound like him. The more time we spend with the Holy Spirit, the more we're going to begin to sound like him because we begin to hear how he speaks. And we realize when he speaks, he's speaking good things. Can you imagine having a one-on-one conversation with God, okay? Standing right in front of you. And God says, "Josh, I need you to go down to the gas station right now. It's 11 o'clock at night. Go down to the gas station right now, and there's going to be a person there with a red baseball cap, and I need you to tell that person that I love them and I care about the loss in their family that they just had." I don't know anything about this person, right? But if I do that, I know that that person is going to get saved because God is telling me to go there, right? And I have an opportunity to witness to that person. And then if God gives me an ultimatum and says, "Okay, but if you go this direction, you're going to bring destruction on yourself. You're going to bring, you know, just calamity and all this kind of stuff." Why in the world, if I knew that God's voice is truth, why would I say, "I'm going to go this way. Thanks, God, but I'm going to do this." Why would we do that? And yet we do that all the time. You know, I think we get so used to wanting to do things our own way that we don't always follow the voice of the Father, but we need to. So again, my challenge, all right, challenge to the church over the next few weeks is to simply pray, "Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know your voice. Speak to me." You with me? One of the most important times that God ever spoke to me was through my actual dad, my father, when he led me to Christ. And you might be in this place, you might be streaming today, maybe 10 years from now when you see this video. And you've been feeling a tug on your heart because you're not used to Christianity, you're not really, you know, don't know what this whole church thing is all about. But you might be feeling a tug on your heart, just that thought, just that subtle thought, but you can't quite shake it. And it's just the thought that you need to make a change. It's time to make a change. It's time to surrender your life to Christ. Listen, that is not just this random thought. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. If you're in this place, that is God speaking to you. that it's time to make a change, and it is truth. God would stop everything just to speak to you today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? I'm not going to have the worship team come back up at this point, but I do want to just pray a simple prayer, okay? And I want to ask you, if you're in this place today, I want to just ask, is that you that maybe you've never accepted Christ? And what I mean by that is, were you actually, you vocalized and said, Lord, I believe you died on the cross. I believe that you died and that you rose again. I believe that you love me and that you forgive me of my sins. If you've never prayed that prayer, I just want to ask really quick, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, would you just raise your hand? And I want to pray with you as an entire church, okay? All right, thank you. All right. Church, would you pray together with me? Josh, go ahead and if you could just play a little bit of music in the background. Heavenly Father, we just ask right now, God, as good as you are, Lord, as kind as you are, Lord, we thank you that you would stop this whole service for one or two or three people that need to know about you, that need to accept you. So, church, would you repeat this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you rose again to give me hope of eternal life with you. And Lord, this day, I devote my life to you. I surrender everything to you. And I choose to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, the Bible says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. They are having an all-out worship service, louder and crazier than youth convention was. They are rejoicing because you just prayed a prayer accepting Christ into your heart. Amen? That's good. Amen? Listen to the voice of the Father. Pray that you will know God more this week. Next week, you're not going to want to miss it. Great. Great topic we're going to be talking about next week. Some stuff that's going to open your mind, open your eyes. It's going to be great. And I'm going to go ahead and dismiss it this time, unless you need prayer. Prayer partners, if you'd come forward for a few minutes. We want to be respectful of anybody that does need prayer, so we'll turn the music up just a little bit. But God bless you all, and we'll see you next week.